Precious promise that I will never leave you or forsake you. Though you go through the valley of the shadow of darkness, fear no evil, for I am with you. We thank you for this. We are all facing different trials and different situations in our life. But we know, Father, that you are with us in those deep, dark days. So help us to navigate tonight, Father. Help me. There's so much on my mind. And you know, my mind is a place of confusion. And I need to come down and to be still before you. Help us all, Lord, to learn from you, from your word, to be a blessing to you as we dig into the warfare that we are about every day. Help us to appropriate those things that you give us, Father, to fight the good fight. In Jesus' name. sorry for all this static, but my sound guy is not here. Would you turn off the green one?
Sure.
Pretty please. With a cherry on top, maybe that's doing it.
Nope.
Could someone help me get this thing on? Pass it down, it's not here. I hope he's all right.
Turn off everything.
He wants to sit next to his mom.
He's going to turn off everything he doesn't need to use.
Your mom's
I figure that'll make it less likely to interfere. So, is the handheld one that he has in his ear?
He's got wireless.
So this can go.
Can you hear me?
Still no.
Yeah, we're working on technical difficulties.
That's the wireless, right, Tom? That not the handheld. Right. Okay.
Yes.
This is the wireless that he's got?
No. Yeah, the wireless is what he's on. Yeah. The wireless is the one that he's on. Yeah.
Try it now.
All right.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yes.
Good.
I don't hear any static either. Turn the guitar off, Gabe, looking down.
We do know that the enemy is the prince of the power of the air.
Oh.
Amen?
Oh, so we're good.
So, you can turn on the light if you like.
I'm not a sound guy.
There we go.
They're different fields.
All right. Someone help me. Where am I? Where am I supposed to be? In the Bible?
Kings.
And where? No, that's Pastor Darren. There you go.
Well, Fellowship Church.
Yeah. We are turning. Go to Ephesians chapter 6.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And we're not doing communion, so if people are asking, what is that under the cover? Well, I got a little couple props that I want to bring. It may be corny. It may be... but it illustrates a point to me, and if that's good and it helps me to communicate the message, then that's even more so.
Perfect.
So, but Ephesians chapter 6. Someone read for me again. We're going to talk about the spiritual warfare that we have. And we're all in it. Whether you believe we're engaged or you're engaged in war, you know what? The enemy is. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy your life, your testimony, your family, to drag everyone with him into outer darkness. And so hopefully tonight you will be realized that you need to be engaging. Am I turned on the, did you press the red button on the recorder?
Yes.
Awesome. Joel, George, cut that part out. So someone read for me Ephesians chapter 6 in 10 through 18. Is the remote up there, buddy, for the clicker? Yep, I took it back. So someone please read Ephesians 6 starting in verse 10 and go to 18.
It's not the clicker.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your tremendous love and faithfulness to us each day. Help us to be aware. Help us to see in that unseen realm that is doing more. And Father, as I remember, as Daniel was praying concerning the nation of Israel, what the future held for them. And Lord, what does the future hold for us? And when Michael came, he said that a message went out the very day you asked. But the Prince of Persia did war, holding back that message in the heavens. Lord, we see that there are rulers. We see there are powers and principalities in this dark age we live in. Help us to see clearly. Help us to evaluate where we are so that we will be able to continue to stand and not be a casualty. And so, Lord, we love you, and we ask that you bless us. Help me, Lord. Help us all to grow in the grace and knowledge of you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, the last time we talked, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the belt of truth, and I'm not going to go on there. It's basically God's Word. Get as much of God's Word ammunition in your belt so that when we get to the sword of the Spirit, and I hope and pray tonight, we will be able to learn how to use them properly. The Word of God, the Word of Truth, there's two different words we'll get to. One is called Logos, the written word, also the word Rhema. And in this text that we talk about, it doesn't use the word Logos, but Rhema. And so hopefully we'll be able to learn and understand how to use that word Rhema. So we talked about the belt of truth and what that stood for. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness and how it's important to have that on. And we can see that he's open. That's one method or breastplate that was available. And we looked at, basically, there's one like that if you were really poor. Because a lot of the soldiers at that time in the Roman were really farmers. They didn't have much experience, and so they got engaged in helping the emperor to be able to conquer the land. And I'm not going to get into all the details, but they were poor, and even there was tremendous casualties in those beginning warriors. And as they realized that we need some intense training, more than the basic training, they went into real kind of SEALs team and special forces. So they reduce the amount of casualties. And I got a little video when we get to the shield of faith. And so we see that this here was a much better, it became flexible, and if you had a little bit more money, you can provide that additional protection of the vital organs of yourself. And we see it even in the belt of truth. Okay, it's protecting this part of a man's vital organs that if you would hit it, you would go down real quick. And so, and I can attest to that a few times. So we talked about the breastplate and why it's important. And so tonight, I hope and pray, we'll get through some more than just one or two. So let's talk about the feet. Fitted with the readiness of what? That comes from the gospel of peace. And the New Living Translation, it explains this. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be able to be fully prepared. Elijah.
I also think the boots of peace, right?
What's that?
What are they called, the boots of peace?
My ears are plugged, so I'm going to let you.
Well, and
It's on the handheld?
Go ahead.
Okay.
No?
Can't hear.
Is it handheld?
Yeah, handheld.
Oh, it's all the way up. Yeah.
Put it closer. Yeah.
No?
Okay. Can you? Yeah, just put it up right here.
Anyway, the boots of peace, you know, I think they also refer to a way of not tripping up other people in their walk. Like, it's also a sign of peace as well.
Good observation. Let's talk about this feat. Is it a defensive or offensive or both?
It was mostly defensive, because, like, you could dig in, and then you just, like, pull. It, like, so you wouldn't be pushed over, and the whole formation would go.
Exactly. And a lot of people say it's defensive, but I want to also consider that it's not only both defensive, but also offensive. And we'll get into it. There's different type of shoes, because if you had your bad feet, I've got some shoes here. Now, it's not the ones that the Romans, and I did wash them a little bit, so. Now, remember, it's, what does that say? Armor all. You don't have part of it. It's you take all of the armor and you put it on. If you leave some of it out, you're dead meat. So I like that. Armor all. Put on all your armor so you'll be able to stand. I got different set of shoes here to help me navigate my life. Different shoes have different purposes. Now, this is my one I wear around the house, too, and you can see it's really worn. But I also did hiking. I hiked the Appalachian Trail last year. Now, do you think I would actually wear these and be able to navigate going up Blood Mountain about 1,500 feet back and forth up rocks and boulders and wet? No. And so these shoes would not help me. Actually, to share a little story, Miss Gloria and I went to a place in Rome, Ranger, Georgia. We have friends that we always go away for a couple times a year. And so we went up to, on top of a mountain and had a little retreat. And so what happened was Bill and Miriam, who was our best friends, we started to walk. Well, I walked in these shoes. Guess what? It started to rain. We're up the hill. And so, well, let's take this highway, the paved road, which would be smoother than that rocky dirt road. So we started walking down, up, raining, cats and dogs, no phone. And all of a sudden we're down, I go, oh, look, there's our place up on the mountain.
Yep.
And look close. So we were down here. About 3 hours later,
yep,
we finally make it back. Long story short, I ruined my bursa muscle. A lot of pain. Wrong shoes. So I went hiking in the Appalachian Trail. These are the ones that I use. Firm, help my knees, good gripping.
Are you from here, Tom?
What?
Are you from here?
No, I'm from New York.
Oh. Up in the mountains. It's flat, though. Okay, so yeah.
I work at Chick-fil-A. Well, if anybody knows about chicken grease, what happens?
Gets all over everything that exists.
Woo! So I bought these nice Dr. Scholl's with the gelling in them.
Yeah.
Almost fell on my keister. Almost cracked my head on a metal thing. Looked good. Very expensive. But it wasn't for the job that I needed. But Chick-fil-A's got these grips on here. Can't even slide. You cannot fall, even if you wanted to. I had the right shoes for the right job. But I also have a job, and it's called breeding golden doodles. Now, if I told Miss Lisa that I wore these shoes in here, I probably wouldn't be doing it anymore. Tell me why, Miss Lisa.
Oh, because we have to have sanitized shoes to go in where the puppies are.
Sterilized shoes. You know, one time the dogs didn't get it. Mama did. Drank, Winnie, I think it was, and drank some dirty water. Well, guess what happened when the baby started sucking on it to get food? Who got contaminated? The babies. So I, don't worry, I'll bleach them down. I wear these just when I go. The right shoes for the right job. If I wore these, the puppies would get contaminated, and it would be very costly and very time-consuming because the new owners, they want those babies now. They don't want to have to wait 2 weeks or three or whatever. So I take precaution in having the right shoes for the right task. So, some people believe that it wasn't... I'm not going to get into it. But here's the type of shoes that the Romans had. They had little cleats on the bottom of them, nails or studs. But they also had straps so that they can really hold their feet. Would you turn that on, Chris, so they could see it? Thank you. So you can see those straps that held the shoes properly. Because don't forget, they're marching. And sometimes they would be marching for days over the ground, being able to go into war. So they were actually offensively moving in the direction. But what would happen when the enemy came? You're going up and down hill. Well, I've been up in Blood Mountain, and I stepped on some rocks that had moss on it. You know what? If I didn't have the proper shoes, I'd be down on the ground and probably hurt, because a lot of that was over edgy cliffs. And fortunately, I had a whistle on my gun, so if anything happened, I could shoot myself or blow my whistle. I came prepared for in season and out, but I had the right shoes, I had the right equipment to look for any danger that we may be able to fight. So, let's look at some of the scriptures to help us understanding about having the proper feet when we're going into battle to be able to fight and to the right battle at the right time, knowing the situation you're in, to not only when the enemy comes to not slip down, but also to stand. Remember, it's all stand. And when you've done everything, stand, stand fast, continue to stand. And so as the enemy's pushing, he wants you to push you back. But we to stand, get your cleat, and start moving forward. And we'll see a little video on that. But let's look at some scripture here. So, turn to Psalm 4, verse 8. Someone take Psalm 4, 8. Someone take Isaiah 26, 3. Isaiah 52, 7. John 14, and so on and so on. But let's be vigilant. Be ready. Be prepared. What do you think the word vigilant means in our readiness? Can anybody give me a definition of vigilant?
Keep your eyes open.
Keep your eyes open. Very good. What else? Another word.
Purposeful.
What's that?
Don't stop.
Okay.
Constant readiness.
Awareness.
Alert.
The definition I got here, which are keep careful watch for possible danger and difficulty. And so when we have this, our feet prepared, we're looking for dangerous places, dangerous potholes that will trip us up. Because the enemy, he knows and he strategizes us. Mm-hmm. Remember in the book of Job, and I think it's the second chapter, first or second chapter, when Satan is before God. And actually God said, hey Satan, have you considered my man Job? That word considered in the Hebrew, it's a military term, means, have you strategized the weakness of Job? And so the enemy is strategizing our weaknesses, seeing if we have part of our armor off. so that we he can attack in those weak areas. Maybe we don't have that something protecting our lower part and our upper part. Maybe we don't have the helmet of salvation. Our feet shod with the preparation or the readiness of the gospel, of the good news. The enemy doesn't want people to know the good news. So read Psalm 4:8 for me. Who's got that?
Right here.
Go for it.
Indeed, I will lie down and sleep for you alone. Lord, make me dwell in safety.
In peace. See, the gospel brings us, there's two types of peace. When we are not believers, you know we are at war with God. We are actually enemies of God. We have enmity. We're doing battle. And Satan is in helping our flesh, those natural tendencies, to be not being able to understand that the Holy Spirit wants to bring the good news to us so we can have salvation, to have peace with God. And so there's peace with God, that's what the gospel brings. And in peace I will lay down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. I want you to consider this story of Jesus on the Sea of Galilee. I want someone to go to Matthew chapter 8, 23-27. Hey, Pastor Darren. Gotcha.
You're in trouble.
Am I going to get paid back? This is a story, a narrative account of Jesus going on a boat in the Sea of Galilee. So someone read Matthew chapter 8 for me, 23-27.
Then he got into the boat.
Hold on, you got stereo. King James and New King James. Go ahead, King James.
Come on.
Gloria, you go to Mark chapter 4. Go ahead.
And when he entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, and so much that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? And he arose and rebuked the wind and the seas, and there was a great calm.
Think about this narrative. Think about here. He gets into a boat. He goes, and they want to go to the other side. Ooh, how do I know that? See, the other account in Mark gives a little bit more detail of what was happening in that storm. Gloria, would you read Mark 4?
That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, Quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm.
Completely calm. My translation, he was on the pillow. He loved his pillow. He probably brought it with him all the time. Well, what's the difference between the two narrative accounts of this storm? What's missing in Matthew versus Mark? Hezekiah.
What is the part where he said, ye of little faith?
Ye of little faith. Okay.
There were more boats.
What? There was other boats? Which boat would you want to be in the storm?
The largest.
What?
The largest.
The largest? Good. I want the one, whether it's small or large, where Jesus is. Amen. He's in the big boat, I want to be in that way. If he's in the little boat, I'd rather be in the little boat with Jesus. Regardless. Don't forget, there's 6 well-trained fishermen. They navigated this storm all the time. It came up. Pastor Darren could probably tell you, out of nowhere, there can be a storm in a minute. Because there, one side, it was like 700 feet high, and winds would come off that hill and down and just create all sorts of tempest storms, just like that, just like being in water. But there was something very, very important that no one's seeing in the two different accounts. Jesus said, let us go over to the other side.
He put him in there in the first place. He's the one that told him to get out on the water.
Get in the boat. Let's go to the other side. That's why he was rebuking them. Because Jesus said, I'm going. I am secure, Jesus, in what my Father has for me in my life. Good times, stormy times, I have a mission, and my feet are ready to preach the gospel on the other side. Pass it down.
You know, I was just thinking, too, as you were talking about that, you know, he's saying, like, you know, we have Jesus' promise. He said we're going over to the other side, not under, you know, and it's, you know, I don't know, it's like almost like we need a refreshing reminder, because we get so, like, caught up in our own, like, anxiety or problems or fears that we feel like we're drowning. But Jesus says, you know, or we feel so alone, but he says, you know, I'll never leave you or I'll forsake you. Or he says, cast your burdens on me because I care for you. And he says, you know, when we have these precious promises of Jesus that he gives to us, like he gives to the disciples, so that we know that we're going to be okay, that he's going to see us through it. But we forget, right, you know, in the middle of that storm. But we have his same precious promises that we can hold on to by faith.
There's another stormy that Jesus actually was up on top of watching. And they were in the middle of this same lake. And all of a sudden the storm, and they think they see a ghost walking on water. And they were all freaking out. And then someone said, is that you, Jesus? And it was Peter. And Jesus said, come, Peter. Now, Peter, what did he do? What would you do? If Jesus said, come out of the boat, walk on this water, that's like that. Would we get out of the boat? Peter got out. And doing great. Until what? Oh, he took his eyes off of who? And looked at what? And what happened? Oh, interesting. And then Jesus took him and lifted him up. You know, sometimes Jesus could be right in front of us. And we look, and we start sinking in despair. Sinking in whatever it is that we've got our eyes off of Jesus. And he's right there. Helping us. Help! So, he says, get out of the boat, whatever the storm may be, keep our eyes looking up. Don't look at the storm. Or if we do, we can have our surfboards ready to go hang again. Okay?
If I was staying right in front of Jesus, and I was walking over there, I would be this.
Just get on with me and let's ride the wave. And so, he has precious promises. That's part of the belt. True. Get those precious promises that God has for you. So when we are amongst people trying to share the gospel and they are trying to trip you up, literally push you down that hill, you're standing ready to move forward. As we're going into up a hill doing a battle, We are moving offensively with the shield and the sword. So it's both, I think, offensively and defensively. Because we're not just standing there, we're going to move forward physically, ready to do battle. That's just one verse. Pastor Darren, I think I'm worse than you.
Not yet.
I didn't say that.
Is this heckling pastor night?
I don't. So, in peace, I will lie down and sleep. Because you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. You know that word, be quiet, be still? It's the word he used in rebuking the enemy. He said, be muzzled. Be muzzled. So it was a spiritual attack. Remember, it's not these waves and these principalities and rulers. They're spiritual entities trying to keep Jesus to go to who? A demoniac. And that's another story by itself. Again, Ms. Clark.
It kind of reminds me of Job when he went. When the enemy, Satan, came against Job, mm-hmm. one of the ways that he came against him was with a great storm, it said, if I'm not mistaken, and it wiped out either his crops or his things. I'm sorry if I forgot to look at the passage. But I thought it was a storm there as well.
I know he lost his kids, he lost his food, and lost everything, and his wife, he decided to curse God and die, you know?
And we know that was Satan that was attacking him there.
Right? I'm going to read some of these verses because I want to get onto that video a little bit, and I got some other props. But Isaiah 26:3, it says, you will keep in perfect peace. For those whose minds are steadfast on who? On the Lord. Because we trust Him. Perfect peace. It's not half peace. It's perfect peace. Isaiah 52:7 says, how beautiful are the feet of the mountain are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, to bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation and say to Zion, your God reigns. Let me ask you, does your God reign and rule in your life? Is the kingdom of God ruling and reigning in your life? Because as we are going through the mountains, of course, this is Zion is another name for the word Jerusalem. As we are bringing the gospel of peace to people, the good news, because they're at war with God. They're at enmity. We want to be, as one skip, be peacemakers. In Matthew chapter 6, Gloria and I, actually 5, going through the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers. John 14:27 says, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor be afraid. See, Jesus was leaving him. And he said, hey, I'm going to comfort you. I'm going to send another comforter, one just like me, to comfort you. Don't fear. And so, but we are to stand our ground and keep moving forward with the gospel of peace with people. Because we are peacemakers. Actually, we're ambassadors. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says that God is pleading through us to others to be reconciled to God. That's what missionaries do. Do you know what? You're a missionary. Right here. And God's asking you to plead to the world to be reconciled with God. So that they can be at peace with God. Bring more enmity. So, check out those other verses. But, shield of faith. I want to show you a little video. Can you turn that off? To give you an illustration of this shield of faith and how it's used. Remember, these are firing darts that are coming at all of us. All of us.
I command you. You are fine soldiers, the best of our people.
Yes, it is.
Respectful
yes,
of the darts.
I just was
afraid. As lions. What else matters? Now, prepare yourselves.
This is actually the Star Wars. What is actually?
Satan has many helpers.
No, you don't want to line your guys up that way.
Wagons, advance!
Look where those arrows are coming from. It's not too bad.
They need to send some horses in on those guys.
Right over here. Stay in formation. This was a 9-minute, and now some bloody stuff in there. I cut out. But look at all the arrows. Look on every side, over here, in front. Shield of faith. Those fiery darts are coming. What did you notice about these darts coming at you?
All directions.
All directions. And it seemed as they get closer and closer, more intense. When you're getting closer
to
the
enemy.
Battle.
Yeah, to the enemy.
That's right. You see, they weren't standing still. They were moving forward as a group. What kind of picture do you see here versus here or just here? I think you have one just like that, don't you, Pastor Darren?
Yes.
Why is it important? What is that a symbol of?
Unity.
Unity, oh. I see so many people, brothers and sisters, that they're in war, and the first thing that they do, they move off by themselves. And they become more vulnerable. See, Pastor Darren and his leadership is right here leading the way. See, I got people alongside me, all protecting each other. We got the front covered, we got the side covered, and we're moving forward. Don't isolate yourself, because you will, it's 100% guaranteed, you will fall. Because God didn't make us to be an island. And every time I fell, it was because this is where I was. And you know what? I have my Bible open. I didn't see what was happening here. Stay together. Get with some people. Help share what battles you're going through so that they can take up that shield and protect your back or your side. Because the enemy is strategizing. You may not think so, but he is. And please, I beg you to take the shield of faith, because those arrows are coming. and coming. Now in that video, that first one, remember I told you about the farmers, they were the original, well, they all fell and bloodied because they didn't have the intense training. Then there was another group that had a little bit more training, basic training. They went to AIT, advanced, but they still got destroyed. But then you had the super, you had the Green Beret, you had the SEALs team. They were able to be able to penetrate and win victory. So are you going to be just the farmer? Or are you going to be just basic training or AIT? Or are you going to get that Green Beret? Let's read. What is faith? It's a shield of what? Faith. So let's define what faith is. Someone read.
You can't read that red print.
You can't read it? It's Hebrews 11. I should have turned it to white. I'm sorry. 11. Verse 1 and verse 6.
Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him.
Oh. So faith is the confidence in that we hope for, the confidence that we hope for. What is the word confidence and hope for?
Assurance.
Assurance? What's hope? That means if I buy a lottery ticket, I hope I will win?
Depends on the word. If it's that LP, then it means assured expectation. Same thing.
That's right. It's a certainty what God said will happen. We don't see it. See, if we've seen it, if God shows us the plan, then we don't need faith. Yes, Pastor?
You know, I was just thinking to myself, too, as this goes right along with what you were talking about earlier with the truth and the Word of God, you know, having that faith is that shield. You know, the one thing that's different about the Rome Total War video you showed, which is pretty cool,
yeah.
But the difference is, you know, some of theirs were falling, but, you know, when we have the shield of faith up, when we're trusting in his word, and it says that it'll extinguish all the flaming, and even that is a promise. And I was counseling somebody today on the phone, and actually she ministered to me, mm-hmm. because she said, because the situation was 100% bleak, and you know, she kind of just turned it around and said to me, you know, well, you know, we know that this is, you know, by the looks of it, it looks 100% bad, but we know we can have trust. We can trust in the Lord and have absolute confidence that God's going to get this person through it because of what his word says. And I was like, you know what? You're absolutely right. I know this, but we need other people sometimes when we're in that battle to remind us of these truths and to hold on to the word and to don't go the way of the world. Just all those things. And it was like, yeah, you're right. Doi, you know. And so, yeah, it just seems to go right along with what you were talking about.
But what did I say about the fiery darts? They come at all directions, but when? At any time. Hear me. At any time, and they have different types of darts. Long range, any time. I had some more guns going.
Richard.
See, I got my gun. I got a little one. I got a little Derringer. If you don't have your shield up, you're gonna be. Some are more high tech, but they come at any time. Actually, I tested out on Miss Gloria. Lucky I'm still here tonight. Because those darts came right back at me. We're going to actually play a game with the youth where we set up obstacles. We're going to do a war.
Wait, when? Right now?
I'm going to talk to Josh on that. Not right now. But weapons come at any time. You've got to be on guard. You've got to have your shield of faith up at all times. Not hanging down, because what would happen? You're going to have some exposure to where you are.
That's Afghanistan.
Okay. Hebrews Psalm 119:30 says, I have chosen the way of faithfulness, for I have set my heart on your Lord. Be on your guard. Stand firm in faith. Be courageous. Be strong. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Hebrews 1, 11, 1. Now faith. Oh, I already read that. Oh, I got a double. Okay. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. What are you carrying around? Do you have the right feet, shoes? Are you having weights around them? Let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance or endurance the race marked out for us. And here's the key. Fix your eyes on the storm.
No.
Fix your eyes on Jesus, the perfecter, or NIVC, the pioneer. See, he's already gone before. He's won the battle. He's the first one, and he defeated death. He is the pioneer of this trail, and also the perfecter, or the finisher. So we got to keep our eyes on. That's what faith is. There are things that are weighing us down, that even in our hands, where that shield goes down. And I'm going to end right there. I want to read a couple more verses and then we're going to end. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7. For this very reason, make every effort to add your faith, goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. 1 John 5, 4. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. Do you hear that? Everyone that's born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world. It is what?
Our faith.
Our faith. Where's your faith? Jesus rebuked them because they didn't believe his word. They looked at the serpent. They didn't have that shield. They doubted. It was demonic. That storm was demonic. And they marveled. Romans 10:10. This is my last one. I got a lot of them. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess and your faith and you are saved. You see, our faith, for it is by grace that we are saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works. Why? So that we don't boast. God bless you. For we are his poema, his work, his masterpiece, a piece of art. You may think you're ugly, have warts, have limbs, but you are his masterpiece. Created unto good works. See, that God has established before the foundation of the world. He saved you by his grace through faith, but then he said, I want you to go. I got some work for you to do, just like these guys did. And going to Peru and other places. God send us here tonight and raise you. Or we have Anna going and learning how to share her faith and different things and debating. God will open up doors of opportunity, whatever it is that you got in your hand. I got puppies. When I go to the doctors, I have a chance to share with Dr. Nina's office and the staff. When I'm climbing up the Appalachian Trail, hopefully I'll do it again this fall. I ran across a couple people, and I was able to share. What kind of shoes do you have? In Chick-fil-A, I do more witnesses there than I do any place else, because it's my mission. What shoes do you have on? Are you pleated in, or are you back? Or do you have these on? Everyday shoes. They feel comfortable, all broken. I was going to get into the other ones, but where's your shield? You know, those darts are coming. You can't see them. But they're coming. They're coming. And some of those may be, oh, you've walked away, Tom. You can never, God will never forgive you. You did this 10 times. You know, for a while, I did. And I was put on the shelf. But God restored. How many times have you stumbled or fallen and believed a lie? I can never use you again. You have no testimony. What's your story? At any time, we can come back and just say, God, forgive me. I need your help, Lord. I need brothers and sisters to come around me to help me in my life. Like Moses, as the battle was going on with Joshua fighting with the Amalekites, as Moses was holding up people and it was victory down in the valley. As Moses got tired, what happened? You remember that story? He had two men on the side of him. Who's on your side? When you get tired, you lift your hands up. Because the battle's going on, and they were losing. Joshua was doing it. He won. Yes, honey.
It was, I think, her and Aaron that lifted up his hands. And when they lifted up his hands, the battle, Joshua down there worked with the troops, they were winning. Mm-hmm. But when his hands were falling down, then the enemy started winning.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have one of these.
When were the days?
We'll get into that next week.
It's not my favor.
We'll talk about the shield. Proper use.
Sword.
A sword. I'm sorry. The proper use. When to use it. What scriptures to use. The helmet. You know? It's defensive too, but also upper. You know when they had that shield, the little one? They actually, you know what was in front?
Spear.
They didn't have it down. They had it out, ready to go. We'll talk about that next week. Or 2 weeks. I love it. I know I'm going to lose it. Any questions? Any testimony that you have of maybe your shield, how you had enough and you defeated? Any testimony? Any? Okay, Chris.
I spend a lot of time when I'm teaching to teach my students how to the difference between the sword and the shield.
Ooh. In what way?
Tennis, sometimes the ball comes so fast you don't have time to swing at it. And you just want to block it. And it's a real difficult thing to not swing at a ball because you just kind of get mesmerized by hitting things instead of blocking it. But there are many times when the block is a much more effective tool to use your racket as than a sword.
And I remember sometimes always going back, trying to stay on a defense. It's when that lob comes up, you want to go. And so you're moving forward. You always don't want to stay in the defense.
Don't want to go backwards.
Don't want to go back. You look for that opportunity to come and just smash it. So, but you're moving forward.
We see a lot of it this weekend. French Open is on. Oh. The IMBC, I believe.
So think about where you are in your walk. Do you have your belt? You got the right tools. You got your breastplate. Maybe the right one. about your feet, about the shield, about the word of God, sword. Remember, it's of the spirit, so it's God's, which is the word of God, and then the helmet. You have every piece. Remember, it's armor all. I know I'm corny with the props, but you know what? If I miss a spot on my car with that sun blaring down, what's going to happen? Others would be nice and protective, but this will burn up and decay and rot away. So pray it all over. No thoughts? Pastor, would you come up and close? Would you mind?
Sure, absolutely. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord. I'm bummed that I didn't get to see the shoe illustrations. But, Lord, I just thank you for your word that just goes forth, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, every word that was spoken, Lord, you have a promise that says it won't return void. So, Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name right now that you would help us to hold on to each one of those promises that were spoken today, Lord, that they would strengthen us, that we would, by faith, add them to our arsenal, Lord, that we would not have a little dinky little shield, Lord, of faith that every arrow could get through, but we would have a full shield of faith, Lord, that we would just trust in you no matter what. We would hold on to your precious promises, Lord God. I pray your blessing upon each and every person here, Lord God, as they leave this place, that they would leave faith-filled in the name of Jesus Christ, promises held on to, claimed as their own, and not let go, Lord, as they trust in you. And I pray a blessing on Uncle Tom. Thank you for him bringing your word, Lord God, and each person here, Lord God. We just pray for your blessing in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.